It's Marketplace Tech for September 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you hoped the popularity games of the high school cafeteria would go away when you grew up, I have some bad news. The stakes just get higher. Take China's President Xi Jinping's stop in Seattle today to talk with a bunch of big tech companies. On its face, it's a meeting in a free country between CEOs of Microsoft and Apple and the president of a country where a lot of current and hopefully future customers live. But it's also ahead of perhaps more strained meetings between President Xi and the White House, where hacking will surely be a topic. Consider it a chess move and consider Alec Ross part of the chess club. He's worked with President Obama as a technology advisor. Hi, Alec. Thanks for joining us.
Good to connect with you.
What's the message here coming from China to the White House?
The message from China to the White House is we aren't going to be pushed around on cyber issues because we have some significant leverage coming in the form of your own technology companies.
How do you think that's all going to play out?
It's going to be really difficult for President Xi Jinping, but he might just pull it off. So if you think about the other 14 CEOs who are going to be sitting at the table with President Xi, they're all going to be looking at Apple CEO Tim Cook saying, boy, I sure would like to be that guy. I sure would like to be selling my goods and services inside China. So that is real leverage. There is a real carrot that President Xi has to offer.
Isn't it kind of, in some ways, I wouldn't go so far as to say is an insult to the White House, but it is an interesting chess move, no?
It is a little bit provocative, because part of what President Xi is trying to do is say, you know what, the basis of America's most robust source of economic growth is something that can be bent towards China's interests. The tricky part of it for President Xi, though, is that not all of those companies necessarily believe that they can have the kind of success that Apple had. For every Apple, there have been 50 companies that have run aground trying to access Chinese markets.
Alec Ross, he's distinguished fellow at Johns Hopkins University. He's also a former State Department advisor to Hillary Clinton. Alec, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
This week, we learned that Apple was going to hit the gas on a big project, the Apple Car. Apple will triple the number of employees working on the so-called Project Titan to 1,800. There's a shipping date, too, or year, rather, 2019. We asked Wall Street Journal tech columnist Chris Mims about this. He says this would be a huge shift for Apple.
Who's going to make these cars? There's no Foxconn for cars. Contract manufacturing is a very niche thing. If Apple becomes a maker of cars, that is a fundamental shift for the company and is probably the one thing you could imagine Apple doing that would guarantee that it could become significantly larger than it is now. So people have always joked about whether Apple could become the first trillion-dollar company. I mean, if they pull this off, they could.
Chris Mims at the Wall Street Journal. Whether you're trying to launch a bunch of internet-beaming near-orbit satellites or a staging station for asteroid mining, there are complications right now if you're a company trying to get into space. I'm not talking about thermodynamics. I'm talking about congestion. Turns out it's getting kind of crowded up there, as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Former NASA scientist Donald Kessler says a lot of our infrastructure is moving to space.
Communication satellites, GPS, our TV. We're talking about the region of space that's only about 600 or 700 miles above us. That's where most things go, and that's the most crowded region.
And sometimes, on rare occasions, they crash. In 2009, Russian and American satellites ran smack into each other.
They came together roughly like two cars in the intersection, but traveling 17,000 miles per hour each. And that's typical of what we should expect in the future to happen at an increasing rate.
Kessler's been warning about this issue since the late 70s, so much that the problem is called the Kessler syndrome.
We're at what we've called a critical density, where there are enough large objects in space that they will collide with one another and create small debris faster than it can be removed.
Something like a loose fleck of paint moving at these speeds can hit with the force of a grenade. Kessler got pulled out of retirement to start working on the issue again. But he doesn't say, "I told you so," at space conferences.
I don't have to.
And the government is worried, too.
Because a bad day in space for one owner is a bad day for everybody.
Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Scott Putnam.
From a standpoint of a collision that creates a debris cloud, that could create hazard for other users, including Department of Defense.
Putnam runs the Air Force program that monitors roughly 23,000 objects in orbit that are about the size of a softball or larger. NASA spends almost $7 million a year tracking space junk.
The way we do warfare now depends on outer space and the functions that we can perform through outer space.
Functions like communications, navigation, and weapons guidance. You know, pretty much everything. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
All right, I have my conspiracy theories about Google directions always avoiding the Brooklyn Bridge because of construction. It seems true, though, that most map apps try to give you the quickest route to your destination. But Waze, the Israeli app that Google bought, might be about to make a tweak. In its mission to get you where you're going, Waze is going to veer away from the infamous so-called Waze left, the kind of turn that isn't illegal but might be crazy and, statistically speaking, results in more accidents than, say, a right turn. Hasn't happened yet, but the company wants to reduce left turn occurrences in its routing software. I don't know. Only thing more dubious than a human backseat driver might be a computer version. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.